Recording. Okay. Welcome everyone to this newest edition of newest episode interview of Tango TV, and I'm joined by a very special guest today. well, I say special, I'll probably be using that word for every guest that comes on, but he's super special, and I don't mean handicapped. Or maybe I do. It's helmet. Hi. Sorry. Was that good opening? Yes. Fantastic. Okay. So lots of things we could be discussing. I think it's probably fair to say that most people know you first as a sort of community personality than they do as a mapper. But was that always the case? Because you joined the community way back in 2000, didn't you? So
yep.
Give us some insight into what were you thinking when you joined the community? Were you looking specifically to map, or just your love of Doom just sort of brought you?
More my love of the game, and then thought it was cool that there was a website for it so many years after the game had come out. And I didn't realize the website was new. I figured the website had been around for a while when I first joined.
Yeah.
Only later did I realize, well, actually, the forums had only been around for about a month by the time I signed up to them. And I figured, like, this was probably, like, a dying thing already. Like, it was 2000, so that was already 6 years after Doom 2 had come out. So I figured it was, like, the twilight era of Doom, but I was
was not to be the case, yeah.
And so for a long time, I kept expecting the Doom community to be winding down, but now I've given up on that ever happening because it just seems to be as healthy as ever.
Yeah, actually, I mean, I've always thought that you were probably one of the community members most interested in Doom, without actually being like a prolific mapper for the stuff. You're constantly making threads, which, well, you're constantly making threads. We'll stop there. the sort of threads that you make are really catered towards Doom, even though you're not a mapper for it, which is interesting to see for me anyway.
I've always been mapping. Ever since I discovered mapping, I thought it was, like, the coolest thing ever. It totally blew my mind that you could go into the game and just change anything, and it wasn't even that hard to do. It, like, totally blew my mind. So I really made a sincere effort to learn mapping early on, and that was a lot of fun. And I didn't have any natural talent for it, but I enjoyed doing it.
Hmm.
And as far as my involvement in the community, it was kind of sporadic. I never really made a name for myself in any sort of fashion. Nothing, and you know, I wasn't really a memorable personality on the forum.
Well, you fixed that, haven't you?
So yeah, you know, I've worked on that a little bit. but I guess Infamous is better than Anonymous. I don't know.
So well, I mean, I think although people might not consider you a mapper, I mean, we'll discuss some of your stuff a little later on. People do know, I think, for your involvement in community projects, and sometimes being the instigator, the harbinger, the Kickstarter of lots of community projects. I mean, we know obviously Doom the way it did. There's actually that recent project. What is it? Doom 2 in name only. It's a working title, but you sort of you were part of the process that came about getting that project kickstarted.
Yeah, I've done this project and have ideas for different projects. It's not always easy to actually figure out the best way to bring a project about, but
yeah, and we have some interesting questions actually from the likes of Purist and Phobos later about community projects. So we'll get to that later on. But cool. This could be a neat time because your first maps. I did some research, some hellbent research, and went back and played some of your early material. I was quite surprised to discover. Yeah. I was quite surprised to discover that looking at the text files for your first two maps, which were both episode one for the original Doom, you were even then, back in 2000, you were trying to replicate the design, and I thought, wow, okay, he's been doing this for like the best part of a decade, or he's had any interest in this for that long. So why the obsession with that in particular, do you think?
Basically nostalgia. I mean, I love the original episodes. They were so memorable to me at the time.
Mm.
I always go back and replay them, and I always loved them, and I never really found newer WoTs that gave me the same sort of feeling that the original episodes did.
And so, not in Doom 2 either. This is a Doom thing.
Doom 2 didn't really do it for me. I mean, I enjoyed it. I got through it. I finished it. It had its moments, but overall, it was a little bit too maybe just too abstract or too kind of random in the map design. I didn't feel like there was a lot of cohesion. I didn't really like the fact that it was on Earth. I guess I really like. I like the whole thing about Doom, where you're really you're on different. You're on like the moon of Mars, and then you're on the shores of hell. I mean, and then Inferno. The whole thing is sort of it captured the imagination really, really well. And then the maps, I felt like, did a good job of carrying through on the,
sure,
the whole thing.
It's actually sort of surprising, I think, that you say that, because I think some people here might have played your map Hell Trip. I mean, which is abstract, certainly in a sense. So could you give us a little more insight? Do you have like a favorite map that showcases your love of these? The sort of things that appear in a Hell Trip, you know, because that's abstract in a way, isn't it? So,
oh, yeah.
Maybe I'm not getting there's a difference here that I'm not seeing.
You mean as compared to Doom 2 in general?
Sure, yeah.
Well, Hell Trip isn't something that I would find nostalgic. It was just, I like to try to come up with creative ideas for WADs that are fun. I like puzzle WADs.
Yeah.
I like puzzles in general if they're not too hard. My map is probably too hard, but I like that whole idea, like you're trying to get a little bit farther. And what Hell Trip did for me was inconsistent in the flow. Like it starts out very sort of suspense. You don't know what's going to happen. Every once in a while you see a dead monster on the ground. You're trying to figure out how to open the level more. As you open it up, the look of it starts to change, maybe trying to get a little bit more sinister. And then you start picking up items. So that kind of mechanism for mapping is really intriguing for me. You don't see a lot of it.
No.
But I like maps that sort of, it's like consistent in that it's always hallways opening up for others. There's a theme, so there's a pattern that you're detecting. But then there's some exceptions in the pattern and things start, you know, the map throws you curveballs.
Yeah.
You know, the horde of monsters that teleport in and they're coming from all directions and you have to, you just have to be on your toes for a while and then it quiets down for a little bit and then you throw in a few more curveballs, etc. So, I mean, the inspiration for the map came from the end of map 17 of Doom 2 made by John Romero, Tenements.
Oh, yeah, of course it did, yeah.
So, and that's mentioned in the text file. So I really like that area because I guess I'm a sort of a simple pleasures kind of guy. Very simple thing, you know.
It's very modest of you.
Opening up different passageways. And then, so I like that thing. I like that whole theme. And I was like, well, this is kind of fun. But then it was just the exit. And it was like, oh, I kind of wish there was more to that whole theme. So.
Just taking one simple idea and then expanding upon it. Yeah.
Well, I just took that idea and expanded on it and did some random things along the way as well.
Okay, so a question from Purist actually that ties in quite nicely. He says that you come across as someone always looking for interesting or unusual gameplay mechanics, and he asks, what's the best example that you've found so far in another one, or perhaps what's your favorite? That you can think of off the top of your head.
Yeah, I'd have to think about it for a little bit. There was somebody posted. I'm so bad at paying attention to people's names on Doom World forums. I look at the content of the thread and I go with that, and I don't always.
That would explain a lot of things as well.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Okay. So somebody posted a puzzle WAD where you had to you had to figure out how to make the steps rise to get to the exit. The basic idea of what I needed to do to solve the puzzle. It was pretty cool. So I guess that'd be a pretty novel example of a really cool puzzle wad. I would have liked the exit to have been a little more interesting rather than an exit switch. Maybe, I don't know, Megasphere at the top or something. Not that that would have any purpose because you wouldn't have needed it, but anyway. So that was a good one.
We'll have to track that one down somehow.
One of episode five of Zazer's. Episode five. That's obviously that was a pretty memorable map as far as being totally like, whoa, this is different. Other than that, I'll try to think of something else as the interview goes on. But right
sure,
now,
yeah, absolutely. Okay. Let's go to the elephant in the room. The big Doom the Weird project.
All right.
I first found out about it obviously when the main thread was created, not the pre-thread, the one leading up to it. Which
right.
Yeah. So, talk to me about its inception. I mean, obviously it was there way from the beginning, but
yeah. So that was
a big community project.
That was an exciting project to start. I was definitely excited about it. I guess what's interesting about it is it. It took a long time to get off the ground. I mean, we had that first thread, and then that thread died, and then I was like, God, I really want to do this idea. You know, I know there's people out there who'd be interested in doing it. I just got to figure out a way to pitch it or something. So I revived the thread, or somebody revived it. I don't remember exactly who.
Could have been Bucket. Might be bullshitting there, but
yeah, and I think he might have actually been the one who came up with the name for the project. So that was pretty cool, just the fact that it took so long. But, yeah, basically it was just a nostalgic thing again. But it was, you know, it was like, what is so great about these maps? Is it just nostalgia, or is there actually something great about these maps or those episodes as a whole?
Can it be quantified sort of thing?
It's just hard to know because it's the first thing most of us experience when we play Doom. And I guess I'd like to think that, you know, there is something to the maps. It's not just because they were the first experience, our first exposure to a really cool game.
Right.
And it's like, well, wouldn't it be cool if we made a map so convincingly id-like that you wouldn't be able to tell that it wasn't made by Sandy Peterson or John Romero or other, you know? So that was basically the idea behind it. I just thought that was a really cool idea.
I always maintained, and I think I flagged it up in the interview last with Caesar, that it worked just as well, if not more so, as a process than the result did.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you there.
Yeah.
I kind of thought after all the time and energy we put into it, we might have pulled it off better than we did. But I think that just goes – I mean, I learned so much from the project. It goes to show that people are – individuals, and you map to your individual style and tastes. And I couldn't get around that myself. I found that I wasn't able to really mimic anyone's style either. I had certain things that I like to do, and it always sort of get in the way of making it truly Peterson-esque or Romero-esque. As far as the process, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. No, it's okay. I was going to jump in with a question from Phobos, actually, which ties in quite nicely. He asks, since you went involved with Doom the Way and did right from the very start, what do you think of some of the ideas in the development process that came in, such as the injection of new music from Mr. Freeze, or even Sodaholic's idea of making the whole thing a sort of alpha, an alpha Doom? Obviously, that was completely completely separate from what the project was trying to achieve, but I suppose he's asking. What sort of parts of the development process did you agree with? Because it was a huge undertaking, and it took, you know, so many different forms. But essentially, did the development go how you expected?
We'll start with the music aspect of it. I think it was a good idea to try to get music. I'm really persnickety when it comes to quality control. So the music was good on its own. It was good even for
persnickety.
Doom.
Hang on, I'm gonna have to. I have to get out the word processor for that one. keep going.
That's a good word. So so I didn't quite feel, and I guess other people agreed, didn't quite pull off the Bobby Prince style. I think Bobby Prince's music is just totally, absolutely irreplaceable, irreplicable.
Right.
Totally awesome.
So it was more than just to do with the maps. It was the entire experience. It extended into the music. It extended into the Oh yeah, of course. But yeah, we got those intermission pictures as well, which I thought were quite
kosher. Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
That was Krakow's.
Well, I mean, the music wasn't something I was thinking about in the beginning, but somebody trying it out. And then as far as the alpha, I never really messed around with the alphas too much. I think I've downloaded one or two of them and looked at them briefly, but I wasn't ever that intrigued with the alphas. So as far as bringing that into the equation in the project, it wasn't something I was particularly interested in, but I guess I was open to different ideas. And I don't really have anything too interesting to say about that. To be honest, I don't know. I mean,
okay. So if we skip forward to the if we move forward to the end result, would you consider it a success or not? And be warned, your life rests on this point. So
I've been thinking about this. How I would answer this question? I think it was. It wasn't maybe quite as much of a success as I think could have been possible ultimately, but I think it was pretty darn close. I think it was pretty darn good. I keep thinking about the differences that Essel and I had on the project, and I can't help but think he had very valid points as much as I disagreed with some of his thinking. For example, his E1, M1, very cool map. I thought it was a little bit more complex than it should be.
Yeah.
And I fought a lot on the texturing. For me, it just seemed essential to really pull it off. Just to use the same texturing that the original guys did, and that'll make it feel more authentic without making it feeling like we're deviating too much. But he had a good point, each map would be new, each map would be different. If we do it exactly like it was already done, then it just... It would be repeating stuff that was already done, and what the guys really did when they were mapping these maps is they really tried to make every map distinct, every map different. So in that way, it's almost hard to replicate it because you never had, in the whole canon up until E3M6, you never had a map like Mount Erebus. So it's kind of like let's say a more traditional map replaced E3M6 and we never had that in the original Doom. And then somebody... In our project came up with an E3M6 map, we probably would have been like, yeah, dude, that's way too radical, sorry. And yet, do you see my point there?
Yeah, sure. I think we did actually end up with an E3M6 like map.
We could possibly ever have done it. Maybe the reason my response isn't that, yes, we 100% succeeded is because I had there's certain aspects of the game that I'd like that I was focused, that I wanted to bring out. And maybe that was a little bit subconscious on my part. And, but there's certain things that I really liked about Doom, like the secrets and, just certain architectural or certain spatial or scale things that I really wanted to bring out to the forefront that other people didn't resonate with other people when they played Doom, but other things about those, the levels in Doom did resonate with them. So focus on those things. And so then when they, like, oh, that's not really what I had in mind, but oh yeah. And then they'd make an argument from like, well, yeah, I guess you're right, I guess that is. And Essel was really good at making arguments. Well, you'd be like, yeah, but look at this map, this was done, and this was done, and this was done differently here. And you could say that we totally pulled it off, and you could say, I don't know, I mean, it's really a hard thing to quantify.
I think one almost has to realize that it's an unattainable goal. I mean, it's so subjective, sort of nostalgia, and when you're reaching for that sort of prize, it's always going to fall short. And at the same time, it's a community project, and so that's even going to further hamper it really when you're striving towards an ultimate goal. And so that's why I sort of say that it works really well as a process, and even that's even more impressive than the end result itself. I'm sure for example, if there were just one person working on the project, he could probably make it even more authentic or even closer to that goal.
It would be a little more consistent, perhaps.
Right. Yeah. But at the same time, that wouldn't have been as interesting. Because of how it works well as a process. So I think that's, I think I'm not actually know quite a few people who have his mapping's been drastically improved as a result of it, confessedly improved. So
yeah, I would say that my mapping's improved as a result of working on that project, as far as my understanding of how to make a good map and things to do and things to avoid.
Yeah.
Absolutely. One of the things I realized that we perhaps didn't focus enough on is, like, from my point of view, when I was developing the idea for the project and, like, trying to explain what I thought was so important, like, later I realized those things weren't as important as I thought, such as, like, how the maps would look, how the sectors looked on the map editor. I always thought they were really elegant, but ultimately that's not that important as far as how the maps play and look in the game. The other thing I wasn't focused on enough was the gameplay, which I think was really the backbone of, at least for Romero, and I assume Peterson as well, that when they designed their maps, they really were trying to make maps that played well, played, you know, really seamlessly, they were easy to navigate. And that's something that we didn't pull off as well as we could have.
I actually have to agree there. I mean, I think there was a lot of focus on the technicalities, but not so much on the...
not enough on how the maps actually played, and that was probably our biggest... lack of insight as we were working on the project.
Okay. That's probably good enough, I think, for Doom the way it did. Any more questions people have, and we'll be able to iron them out in print down the line. So let's talk about Green War now, because this one surprises me. I haven't played it myself, mostly because I just don't do deathmatch. But yeah. You must be have been pretty interested in deathmatch to manage 32 maps of it. Am I right? There was 32 maps.
Yeah. So that's the interesting thing about Green War. I was I go play Duango 5 map 01. I'd be like, pretty good map. But why is it just so famous? Why does everyone play this? And I was kind of like, I want to make a map that replaces Duango Wads with something that's something that's new and just as fun to play. And everyone's like, oh yeah, this is actually better. Let's play this. So I was feeling pretty ambitious when I started that project, and I did a little research. I was DMing a lot with a guy with an alias R, and he was on Doom Connector. He still plays every day apparently, and so I was asking him what he liked and was, and what, you know, I was trying to get advice from him about how to make a good DM map, and so he really got me started with some basics such as lack of dead ends, good connectivity. So I went with that, and then I was like, okay, what is it about Duango 5 Map 01 that everyone likes? And I sort of focused on the new outdoor area, which was just basically a big curving thing. And from there, I was just like, I'm just going to make a lot of these really organic shaped curvy maps. And that's basically what I do with Green War. And I really tried to get the scale right and the flow right. And obviously I wasn't too concerned with complexity. I mean, I wanted the maps to be, the layouts to be complex enough to be interesting, but not a lot of detail complexity in that stuff.
Sure.
So I was making tons and tons of maps and bouncing them off of R and Croesus, but mostly R on the Doom World forum, or not the, on the Doom Connector. And that was basically, and I made, like, Green War is 32 maps that I've made, like, literally hundreds and hundreds of DM maps. But, you know, I guess I would basically use R as like, is this a good map? Should I include it in Megawad? Yes or no? And that's how R Mega came about, which was subsequent to Green War. But, yeah, just a lot of mapping, a lot of interest in it, and trying to figure out what makes good deathmatch play. That was basically it.
I think it's probably considered an underrated classic by some, or at least I'm not sure how good the id Games comments are of an indicator of that. But in any case, it was clearly popular enough to spawn a sequel, and you provided the layouts for that. But to my knowledge, anyway, again, I haven't played it, but you were less involved. So again, did you take a more sort of community project leader role in that one as well, or?
So what happened with that one is Essel and Shai approached me about doing it. I was like, that's pretty sweet. And before they approached me, I was trying to get other people to detail my maps for me. Because I was like, okay, Green War was cool, but we could have had more visually dazzling maps. And so I got some people that were real fans of Green War, and they did some detailing, but it wasn't quite what I was going for. It was sort of a lot of the stuff looked like it was just added on to make it look nice rather than sort of being part of the architecture of the map. So again, I was pretty persnickety about what I was expecting without even realizing what I was expecting. It was only when people would show me stuff they would do, and then I'd be like, yeah, that's not quite what I want or whatever. So eventually that fell through, and then Shai and Essel approached me, and they showed me something from Space DM, maybe Space DM 5, and they showed me this detailing and like a new palette, and it was like really clean looking, but it like looked really, really good. I'm like, wow, that's what I want Green War to look like. But then what happened, they ended up producing a lot of these textures that weren't very clean, and they created a lot of visual clutter. And then everyone that was working on it, it seemed like everyone was trying to make the most amazing detailed jobs of their mapping careers, which I was kind of flattered by. Like, everyone was working so hard on this, you know, to make this.
You thought maybe it was lost in translation, the whole.
But I didn't feel like it really worked with the organic nature of the maps. I mean, it's hard to build a lot of detail into curvaceous maps because you have these lines that aren't on the grid. And so what was happening is a lot of people were kind of rearranging the shape a little bit to get it on grid so that they could build more detail in. But I felt like it was somehow in this sort of you can't put your finger on it why, but something was being lost in translation and the gameplay, and the maps weren't playing quite as excitingly or electrically as they were when they were in their simple skeletons. So I fought with them a lot on that, and I sort of I tried to be diplomatic, but I definitely ruffled some feathers on that one.
With regards to actual mapping, how many maps did you do for the second Green War, or were you simply relegated to the role of defining layouts?
I had hundreds of maps that I built, and so I was just, you know, I went with ours, like, which ones do you think would be good for the next next megawatt? So he helped me select them. So I sent Shai and Essel, you know, I don't know, 40 or 45 maps or something. And then people that were part of the Essel Shai team would select maps that they wanted to detail. So that was basically how that worked.
So they were carryover maps from the first attempt at Green War, which you just sort of...
Well, I took it more like this. I made DM maps without any... I would build DM maps without thinking about a megawatt. I would just build them because I wanted to build them, and I was like trying to go for the holy grail of a DM map. Like, yeah, this map is fun, but it could be funner. What could I do to make a map even more fun than this? And so I just kept pumping out maps. Sometimes I get... One thing I noticed in that process of building DM maps, trying to make the best map ever, is like you had to keep it simple. If it got too complex, if you got too ambitious, you end up with something that was just didn't end up being very fun to play. But anyway, so the maps that ended up in Green War 2 were just maps that I built over the years. And I said I collected the map hard drive that I built, and then I tried to pick the best ones.
Okay.
To put on.
Right, because Jimmy sent in a question regarding those layouts, saying, I mean, I suppose you've answered it to an extent already, saying, how did you come up with those layouts? But then he also added, would you say that your solid mapping evolved between those two projects? But I suppose if those maps weren't really built in mind...
Because a lot of those maps would have been newer than the ones in Green War, but a lot of the maps in Green War 2 were maps that could have been in Green War, but I chose not to include them.
Right.
So one thing I did notice about my mapping that changed over time is that I tended to go for tighter and tighter quarters, which a lot of people didn't like. I think that's why my later DM maps weren't as popular as Green War. I don't know why, when I would DM, I preferred the tighter maps because it meant you had to travel less distance before you had an encounter. And it made it so that when you did have an encounter, you had to be a little bit more technical. You couldn't just have tons of room to, like, circle strafe or whatever. And I thought it made for a more intense and more exciting gaming experience, and while being a little more challenging and more technical. And I just thought that was so much more stimulating than these sort of simpler, bigger maps where you had tons of room. So in the original Green War, the maps were kind of bigger, and it ended up that they turned into these like free-for-all. And I think that's why it was popular. A lot of people, you could just cram a lot of people into those maps, and because they flowed nicely, you know, it was just sort of this fun kind of go around, guns blazing all the time, and less tactical. And I guess I was trying to make maps that were more tactical later, but people didn't enjoy them as much, I think. So it was kind of I sort of got lucky in that sense that Green War was popular because that was part of my learning process. I thought the maps in Green War weren't as good as some of my later maps, but you know, people prefer the larger, the more elbow room maps from Green War.
Right. Have you continued to create maps for Deathmatch since then? Because I mean, I
a long time.
Since yeah.
I guess okay. I sort of got, but every once in a while I'll try to make a DM map, and sometimes I make something decent, but I haven't really thought about making Green War 3 too seriously or something like that.
I can hear many people sighing and disappointed over that, just because of how popular Green War was, right. which may or may not be sarcasm. I haven't decided yet. okay. So
I don't know how popular Green War 2 was as far as people playing it.
Well, as I say, I think many consider it to be an underrated classic. But then again, many deathmatch maps are underplayed. Tragically, I think. But in fact, I think the number actually outweigh single player maps. Don't quote me on that on the id Games archive. But I could be bullshitting. So let's just sticking with the community. Management sort of role, or going back to it, maybe in the case of Doom the Weird. There's a very interesting question from once again from Purist, who asks that Doom the Weird took a long time to go from concept to working project, and this is a common problem for many proposed community projects. What do you think was the catalyst to get the project moving, or I suppose to make it less specific to Doom the Weird did, and more just in general about community projects? How on earth do you get it to become so popular? Because it seems to just get to a stage where it snowballs and just gains popularity by itself. Is that just
have to go back? I was thinking of doing a little research on this in case it's not a question along those lines might came up, but I was a little too lazy and didn't do it. I'd probably have to go back and look at those old threads. But one of the reasons I didn't is because I wrote so damn much trying to pinpoint why I thought
Holy
this was
shit.
Such a Yeah. I don't know if you remember some of my posts, but they were really long and they were really winded, and they were kind of like, and I don't know if any of those posts resonated with people and that was why people started getting on board, or if I really don't know why it eventually took hold. I mean, I guess it could just be a simple case of, you know, if you're persistent about something and you believe in what you're persistent about, eventually you're gonna get buyers. You're gonna find people that see your vision.
Mm. Or have you pestered them enough? I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if I just pestered them and I didn't have a good idea and people didn't really think it was a good idea, I think I would just become unpopular and people were like, all right, dude, you tried your stupid idea, now freaking bugger off. But yeah, for whatever reason, it took a long time. And I don't know if that was from... I mean, I think it probably had to do a lot with what other people contributed to those threads as well. Like, just... their own insights and their own ideas of why it would be a good idea, you know. So that's probably a big part of it too, just what other people brought to the table.
I suppose for some people, it's almost like touching base with musical preferences or film preferences. You just there's an innate obligation to comment on it when somebody creates a thread about it. I mean, we have tons of these threads. I mean, you could create what's your favorite music something, and then without any further need to explain yourself, you have an entire page within less than half an hour, and then it's just, you know, preferences and opinions on these sort of things just cause them to rocket out of control. And then I think when you're talking about authenticity and not authenticity, just nostalgia, it's a similar thing. So perhaps that was integral to its success in that regard. But interesting to see that point past which community projects just rocket.
I think it, there were some times during its process where it would sort of wane a little bit, or I would be, or I would give too much criticism and people would lose. I think maybe one of the things is that we started, I think one of the key important things was that we started to get some sort of guidelines for what the project was. You know, we started getting more concrete things about what we wanted in the project. And once, I think once we got those, people saw them and they agreed with them for the most part. I know that everyone didn't agree with everything. And so maybe that was important to getting it, to getting more people on board, was toning down those guidelines for how to make an authentic map.
Hmm. Here's another small fun question, also from Purist, who asks, did you ever find out if John Romero played Doom the way it did?
I did.
Because it was quite historical. He appeared in the thread and made about six posts, and then
that was pretty cool when he showed it.
That must have had something to do with the popularity, I think. That must have.
Yeah.
we forgot that part.
Yeah, we did. I don't know if I followed up to ask him if he had played it or not. I don't think I did. I think I didn't want to pester him, but could do a follow-up, be like, hey, yo, we finished the WAD, check it out. I have a feeling he didn't play it, but I don't know.
Yeah, that would be very interesting to find out if he did or not.
Maybe I'll throw him a Facebook message or something. See if he did.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about K-Quartz now, because simply because of the fact that you flagged it up in a recent thread of yours. It's contemporary stuff.
Yep.
What's wrong with it? Do you think it's lacking in variety, maybe? Because obviously we've had huge changes at the moment.
I probably could have thought about what I was posting a little bit more before.
Yeah,
I
don't probably really, could it, have, Hellbent. That goes for a lot of things.
It goes for a lot of my posts. That's true. Problem is, half the time I'm bored because I'm on crutches, and I'm like, yeah, let me go post on Doom World.
Oh, great excuse. Yeah.
That's not very good, I know. No. But no, I don't think there's anything wrong with the Kako words. But it did suddenly occur to me, like, oh, yeah, you know, there aren't really categories. Well, why not? I mean, if there's categories, and you can find what you want easier rather than having to sift through just whatever's on there. I mean, I don't think categories would be a bad idea. A lot of people like sort of old school style maps or vanilla compatible maps, and a lot of people like more complex maps. I don't know. That's all. Nothing major there.
Okay. So that was a bit of a cul-de-sac, and I suppose that's my fault. But
sorry.
Well, we'll work with it. That's fine. Well, no, we won't. We'll move completely away. So there are some more quick fire questions. Almost as a sort of get a taste of your own medicine, Hellbent responses, because when we first proposed this idea, you put up a whole wall of sort of,
yeah,
some might say generic questions you can ask pretty much anyone. So, but some of them are quite interesting, so we'll throw them back at you. Desert Island P-Wads, this again from Purist. Name your top five, or just you don't need to have five, I guess, just wads that you couldn't. You know the scenario, you know the desert island scenario, don't you?
The desert island P-Wads?
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
No. Let me rephrase that. You're on a desert island, and you have to take five maps with you to play. Yes.
That's a good one. Yep. What would I take with me?
Yeah.
Mm.
I suppose it is just another way of saying what's your five favorite, isn't it? Or it could be for some. It depends.
Yeah. Well,
big playability value.
It's funny that Hell Revealed pops into my mind. I don't really like slaughter maps, and I got about to level 12 or something, and I think it started getting too hard, and I stopped playing it. But I really enjoyed it up to that point. I thought the levels were really creative, and had really good gameplay and really good scale and size and architecture, and they weren't textured detailed particularly well, but they were done. It was done well enough that you could get absorbed into the game, and it was. I don't know. Alien Vendetta pops into my mind just because it's so popular.
Maybe you don't have like a burning favorite, like something that you can turn to all the time. No, okay.
Well, that brings up an interesting issue: is there aren't a lot of PWADs that are made that really speak to me as far as what I like. PWAs. I guess I would like to see more more minimalist. I'm really fascinated and have been for a long time the idea of trying to make the most with as little as possible. I think that's what I would like to see. I'd like to see more people trying to come up with creative maps with as few line depths and vertices and sectors detail as possible. Make it as distinct as you can
This sounds like a lot like a pitch to me. It sounds like we could get another community project out of this.
I mean, it would actually be a pretty natural evolution from doing the way it did, because that's basically what we were trying to do. It was like, how did friggin' John Romero and Peterson and everyone involved in that, how did they make those maps so distinct, so compelling in their atmosphere? You go into these maps and you totally feel like you're in this place, and you're not running around the maps thinking, God, man, up the detail a little bit here. Geez, this is freaking bland as crap. And you know, even when I go back into those maps, I never think that. I'm never like, gee, they could really throw in some more computer panels here and do a little more. And when you look at them in the map editor, it's all single line. You know, it's all the walls are. There's nothing extra on the walls. It's all just impassable lines and two sided line depths here and there to create structures. But all the detail and all the structures and all the maps in the original Dooms, they all have a function. They're not just there to make detail. So I think those are just prime examples of doing the most with as little as you have, so that you can create the most immersive experience without bogging down the computer. And maybe people say, well, why do that if you don't need to do it anymore since we all have high-end machines? And I think a lot of what happens when you do a lot of high-end detail is that it ends up just being a crutch, and you don't have to be as creative in your map design and your gameplay design, and you can just sort of rely on all these really, really cool detailed architectural stuff that doesn't
it's particularly interesting when you talk about this from my point of view, I think, because when you think about why people map for Doom in the first place, I believe it's because, you know, you have a certain set of limitations within you, and so that squeezes through creativity. That's how creativity is born, and you're sort of taking an even if I can call it a narrower look on this by saying, you don't even need that much. You can to achieve this gameplay and to make it so fun, you don't have to, you know, stretch the limitations of the engine. You can explore. If I'm making sense there, you don't really have to sort of push the boundaries out. You can sort of work with what's there, basically.
That's basically it.
Hooray.
I don't know if I had anything else to say to that end.
That's okay. You don't need to, because we have so many more questions here. So many more quickfire stuff. Again, you pointed out that you don't really have any favorites, but let's just say that you're this year's Cake Award judge, that you're the Hobbs of today. Well, there already is a Hobbs, but say that Hobbs was no Hobbs and Hellbent Hobbs. Okay. Who's Mapper of the Year? Just who? Maybe you don't pay attention that much.
I really don't. I'm really sort of a self-absorbed prick like that. I don't know. Who would be Mapper of the Year? There was somebody that was sort of coming on my radar because of the maps. Oh, you know what map is really great, and I haven't finished it because my gaming PC is just sort of on the fritz these days, and I don't enjoy playing Doom as much on my Mac laptop. But Community Chest 4 is freaking pretty fantastic. So whoever made a lot of maps in that, I would probably pick maybe somebody in there. But I'd have to go with that thread and see who the candidates were and try to pick that way. I don't want to throw out any names without.
I think sure. The real hero of Community Chess 4 is probably the Green Herring. He's the man behind the curtain. Does all the work. True. Yeah, he's the muscle man.
So maybe TGH.
I don't, Okay. Well, I may have lied in saying that we have many more questions. We do have many more questions, actually, but they are all to do with you falling asleep at the wheel. So we're going to have to skip lightly over those, and that leaves us with this, precisely zero left.
You can ask some of the humiliating ones if you want. I don't mind.
No. I think that would be unnecessarily extending the interview beyond what was absolutely necessary. It's been great to have you on Tango TV.
You've been a wonderful host. Thank you very much.
Well, that's very flattering.
Brilliant. Questions.
Yep. And if anyone's willing to step up to the plate again, please do so. It'd be very interesting to hear from these esteemed members of the community, Hellbent among them, we'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Ciao.